now. The situation in Gaza is continuing to be especially dire. News reports this morning that Israel has hit Gaza hospital, killing at least 15 people, including journalists. This is on Nasser Hospital in Gaza. Those strikes have killed them, including four journalists, one of whom worked for Reuters and one of whom worked for Al Jazeera. Palestinian health officials confirmed the death toll this morning. A Reuters contractor was killed in the first strike, and photographer Hatim Khaled, who was also a Reuters contractor, was wounded in the second strike. Al Jazeera said one of its journalists, Mohammed Salama, a photojournalist and cameraman, was also killed. This comes, of course, following on from reports over the weekend that Gaza effectively is in a famine situation at the moment. This has been denied by the Israeli government, who are still accusing Hamas of manipulating aid and preventing aid to get through to the people who need it, and they're insisting they're doing everything that they can. Meanwhile, they're preparing and massing for the military invasion and occupation of Gaza City. While all that's going on, campaigning and protesting continues here in Ireland. Latest reports from people suggesting that perhaps maybe Alliance should be boycotted. There are continuing calls as well for the Occupied Territories Bill to be passed by the Irish government, and for the Irish government to do more in relation to putting pressure on the Israeli government. Well, Karen Gearan was one of those shop workers in Dunn Stores 40 years ago who stood up and refused to handle goods that came in from South Africa, helping to apply pressure on the situation with regards to the apartheid state that South Africa was. I spoke to her before coming in here this morning about her calls for a boycott of anything to do with Israel economically. And I first of all asked her what she thinks that will achieve.
Okay. So just to say, Gerry, that in relation to boycotts or not handling goods or services, the reason that that happens is to put pressure on a government or an organisation so that they have to come and sit down at the table. When they're hit in their pocket economically, they know that they have no choice but they have to discuss and try and get a solution through discussion. So that's the reason that we're calling for an overall boycott and ban of all things to do with Israel until they come and sit down at the table and work out a solution so that both Palestine and Israel can live in peace in the Middle East. That's why we're asking for a boycott. But also we have to be very mindful that up until now, nearly 2 years later, these are only the numbers that we know of. It's not the bodies that are under the building. Over 65,000 people have been killed. The equivalent of eight nuclear attacks, eight Hiroshima, have been dropped on Gaza, a landmass of 42 kilometres by 12 kilometres. There is food outside every gate going into Gaza waiting to go in. Medics, there have been more medics killed than all of the four big wars that have gone before, World War One, World War Two, Korean, Afghanistan. Journalists, Gerry, your colleagues, 240 of them have been killed. There has been no journalist let in from the Western media into Gaza. Why is that? And we're calling for a boycott of all Israeli produce, all Israeli goods and all Israeli services until we force them to sit down and work out a peaceful solution, not by murdering people.
Okay, at the weekend we've had, and over the last number of days, we've had confirmation from different governing bodies, different NGOs, the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification System, saying that, you know, 514,000 people, close to a quarter of Palestinians in Gaza, are experiencing famine, with the number reduced to 641. With all of that, that's all being denied by Israel. Israel are saying, the Israeli government, I should say, are saying, no, that's not happening. We're getting aid in. This is all biased information. We're continuing on with our security operation. I guess my question is, when you're dealing with a government like that, saying what they're saying, denying everything, saying that they're fully justified in what they're doing in Gaza, what good will a boycott do in that circumstance? Because, when you're dealing with somebody that's fundamentally, diametrically saying that what's being said by the rest of the world is just not true, are they going to respond?
First of all, the only way they're going to respond is if they stop getting weapons, if they stop having economic links with them, because it will hurt them in the pocket. If they've no money, they can't bomb and kill people. If they've no weapons, they can't bomb and kill people. If they're not getting their products sold, they have no money. If we're not selling products to them, they're not going into the country. If there's a full economic ban, you isolate the country and you force them to sit down and negotiate. Now, in relation to what Israel said, every single thing that Israel has said in the past 2 years has been proven without doubt to be lies. When they said about the Red Crescent workers that were deliberately targeted, shot and then buried, they denied it until that young, amazing young paramedic actually recorded his death on live stream. And it was proven to be true. So everything Israel says is a lie. The humanitarian going into Gaza is it's shockingly inadequate. And yet, the world is standing still and letting it happen. I mean, I don't understand governments. Like, I don't understand why our Irish government has taken 7 years to even get the occupied territories bill. I see not only, like, I mean, famine was declared at the weekend, but dear God Almighty, anybody that has been looking at what's been happening in Gaza over the last, particularly since March, since they stopped the food going in, since they stopped the UN putting food in there and distributing it, everybody could see that this was inevitable. This was what was going to happen. If you're not getting food in, you're going to die of hunger. Gaza has been, even before this, has been the largest outdoor prison in the world. That has been stated by the United Nations many years ago, Jerry. Mm. So this we could all foresee. So the only way that pressure can be put on is to isolate Israel. Don't let them involved in anything. Don't let them involved in sports, in the Olympics, in the football. Don't have them near you as a representative of that country that is committing genocide.
And do you think that will make a difference? If that was to happen across, because
okay,
the reason
so
I'm asking
that,
the reason I'm asking the question, Carol, I understand what you're saying and the argument you're putting forward, but you talk about you don't understand the world and the world not moving and the Irish government not doing enough in the OTB, the Occupational Territories Bill. The issue is, though, the Irish government has done more than perhaps any other country in calling out Israel.
They have
recognised the state of Palestine as... No, I understand what you're saying there, but
yes.
They can do all what you're saying. They can do more. They can bring in an Occupied Territories Bill. And what would you say to this argument? It will make not one whit of a difference. And you talk about the world standing by. Really, if you boil it down and you look at it geopolitically, it's America, isn't it? You talked about weapons, you talked about money. If you don't change America's mind, then you're wasting your time.
You're never wasting your time, Jerry.
Okay.
Like that argument that you've just put to me, or that other form of an idea, right? That was put to me 40 years ago when I was out on strike with the Dunstores anti-apartheid strike. The same argument, the same thing. If America doesn't do something, if the UK doesn't do something, if Italy doesn't do something about apartheid in South Africa, they were the three major investors in the white South African government. What can 10 girls, 9 girls and 1 boy do on a picket line in Dublin? But Jerry, we did. We absolutely did. And when people think that they can't do anything, even the smallest thing, even the thing of not buying anything that has anything to do, don't go to your Starbucks, don't go to your McDonald's, just stop buying the goods, then messages do get through.
Okay.
And even if America and whatever doesn't do it, the rest of the world can actually do it, because if we economically strangle Israel,
then that's the way to do it, you're saying. Yeah, just on that issue as well, though, and comparing it 40 years, there are some differences. And what do you
say? Difference. Yeah,
what do you say, though, to the issue of Hamas, what happened on October the 7th, the fact that they're still holding hostages, and one of the issues as well, and at points to, and this has been commentated on by several commentators, is that the decision by Hamas around about a month ago now to release video of hostages digging in the tunnels, looking emaciated, and release that video for propaganda reasons, that spectacularly backfired because US President Donald Trump, he watches television. And after he saw those scenes, he was asked about the situation, the deteriorating situation in Gaza. And he said, well, Israel really needs to do what it needs to do in relation to getting its hostages back, and kind of washed his hands of it. So what do you say to the fact that Hamas isn't helping the people of Palestine either, particularly with that miscalculation?
No, nobody, like, first and foremost, right, we talk, particularly Western media, right, talk about Hamas all the time. We don't talk about the plus 10,000 hostages, Palestinian hostages, that the Israeli state are holding. We don't talk about the 3,500 children under the age of 14, Jerry, that Israel is in prison. We don't talk about the starvation, the torture.
But we do talk about that. That's covered all the time. And Irish media across the board have been covering this story ad nauseum for the last number of months. The point is, it doesn't reach Donald Trump's ears.
No, it doesn't. But that
Hamas situation, that miscalculation that was made, that's not doing any favours to try and bring this to an end either, is it?
But Jerry, in fairness, right, I'm not condoning Hamas or anything like that, right? But when you see what's happening in Israel, in the prisons in Israel, we look at the freedom flotillas that were there, the way those people were treated. All they were doing was trying to get food into Gaza.
Yeah.
We look at the amount of doctors that have been taken and kidnapped by Israel. We look at the amount of medics that have been taken. If you're starving a population of 2.2 million and you have hostages in there, which there shouldn't be hostages, but if you do, they're going to be starved too.
Mm. Mm. Karen, do you see any resolution to it? Do you see, even if, let's say, ties were cut with any company that does any sort of business with Israel, if the Irish government enacted the Occupied Territories Bill and other countries like the UK and Europe did what they said, let's say France, UK recognised Palestine, increasing that sort of pressure, do you think that will work, or do you see any resolution to this? Because at the moment, it doesn't seem to have any end in sight.
There always will be an end. There will always be an end. And if you look at the little bit that we're getting out of Israel from the marches that they're having, Israeli people are having, in support of the end of the war and a ceasefire, then you look at around the world, you look at every country in the world, there are protests. So the movement is there. There will be an end, but there will only be an end with a negotiation, because that's the only way to facilitate peace in the Middle East. You cannot have a rogue state that isolates 2 million people in a small strip and annihilates them.
Mm. Okay.
Like, what does that say for the world?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Karen, listen, interesting debate, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us and give us your view on what you think needs to happen.
No problem. Thanks, Jerry.
There you go, Karen Guerin there with her view on what needs to happen with regards to boycotting Israel or companies connected in any way. If you have a view on what she had to say on where things stand now, the famine situation, the hopes of bringing this around, whether it'll make a difference or not, I'd love to hear your view on it this morning on 0667 123 666. We've lots more on the way on Kerry today. Interesting letter, actually, I might read for you in a while in relation to the other side of that argument.